Welcome to the Musician's Toolbox. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angela.
And today we have the episode of the mini-series for our second season. And Angela, what is the second season about?
So we were kind of thinking that lots of people like to kind of hit a reset at the beginning of the year. And most people hit that reset button and then they get a little distracted or overwhelmed, or there's lots of different things that can go on. But usually we kind of forget about New Year's resolutions or whatever it is that you call it.
Yeah.
Because some people think that's a swear word. So anyway, so we wanted to have something that could kind of reset those kinds of goals if you are like anyone, like myself. Like
both of us.
And you've perhaps lost a little bit of vision on that.
Yeah.
So the four, well, first of all, we kind of focused more on like mental health and experience, because I think that no matter how much you practice, it really starts with like being a whole person in anything that you do, not just music, but it's helpful in music. So we focused more kind of on the mental health side of things, emotional side for this season, which you've probably figured out by listening.
I mean, we had counselors.
Yeah. So these four episodes are also kind of focused on that. We've got time management and stress management, and then reflections of 2020, because I think it's good to go back and see where we've come from. And then the last one is how you get out of a rut.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And something that's new this season is that we are going to do a giveaway. So if you've seen some of those stickers that we have around, that we are giving away 10 stickers. And so we want you to keep in touch with us on our social media so that you can get those stickers and so that you can see our future guests and the future topics and all of that new information. So make sure you go to the social media platforms to get all of the details for the giveaway. And our handle is the Musician's Toolbox. And there'll be links in the description too in the show notes. So you can go there to get your information. So I guess let's move on to the episode and talk about these topics.
Here we go. What do you do to manage stress?
What a great question. Right? Because this especially 2020, could we have had, maybe, I don't know, we're heading into 2021, maybe it will be even more, but we definitely have had things that have caused us or to pause and definitely have felt that stress. So just one tiny little trick I heard a long time ago is that if you put a loose little rubber band around your wrist and you're not doing anything with the rubber band other than every time you notice it, you pause to think and notice what it is you were just thinking. Because so often we are either brutal to ourselves or we are we're toxifying ourselves simply by feeling stressed. And what is it that we're thinking and telling ourselves? And so if you have this little, it could be anything. It could be a timer sent randomly on your phone throughout the day, but it's called metacognitive, right? It's a metacognitive tool. So you're thinking about your thinking. So if you have this random little, so the rubber band's the easiest. So every time you look down and you notice your wrist, you say, what was I just telling myself? And even just in that brief pause of a moment of assessing what you were thinking, you're starting to train yourself in your mind. I get to choose what I think about. And what I think about determines the stress level that I'm feeling. So it really is the story that I'm telling myself about the scenario. And so if I can kind of audit myself gently and randomly throughout the day, I can start noticing over 7 days, what have I been telling myself that's leading me to stress? And therefore, by noticing, I then replace it with, I've got this. Just some short little phrase. I've got this. I've got this. And then you do that, let's say, for an experiment for 7 days, and you're starting to notice that you're turning that stress around because you are being alpha with your own thoughts, if that makes sense.
My default setting is to withdraw. And where that's really challenging for folks is I've become really good at withdrawing in a crowded room. So I can sit at my dinner table with my wife and my two kids and be there, but be totally absent. And what happens is it ends up making my wife feel lonely in an anxious way. And it makes my kids, they sense that gap between us. And then they start doing their default behaviors, which is to get loud or get silly or get aggressive. And then I get frustrated and then they feel that. And it just exacerbates that cycle. So coping strategies for me are, I've got a couple of folks in my life that I've given permission to speak into my life intentionally. And they say, hey, where are you, man? And I've committed to them. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to listen to them. I am pretty militant these days about leaving my phone with social media downstairs, with not having that, not on my real phone, putting electronics away, lots of skin to skin contact. And then when I start feeling myself withdrawal, I have to lean in and make myself be around other people. And those are some sleep, eating right, those kind of things. But usually it stems from a tendency to withdraw.
So would you say that you're more introverted than extroverted?
I fall right on that line. Okay. I get energy from being alone. I get energy from other people. And both of those make me a little bit Looney Tune in the wrong doses.
And you have social media on one device and then you have like a different device that is just for...
Just for my phone and my, okay. Like I don't have any games or anything on any of those devices, but I've got one phone that is just dedicated to social media and social media is only for work. And then if I need to communicate with humans, I'm going to use text messages and voice conversations.
I used to eat a lot of chocolate until I realized I was very poor for my health.
dark chocolate. I thought dark chocolate was good.
It's got all the same antioxidants.
I don't know. I find that for me, walking or running, usually my management of stress has to do with getting out in nature or physical activity. That is my very best number one stress coping strategy, and it almost always works for me.
I think exercise is one of the most underrated. I think people get so much in their heads, and to have some type of physical exertion can really clear your mind. Also having rituals that can help to alleviate stress, and certain rooms in your house can have certain energies. Like this is the room I exercise in. This is like if you take like a hot sea salt bath or something. Like I had to do that many years ago for my eczema. I had a really bad eczema and that just became a really big de-stressor for me. So that's kind of like a space where I can just totally unwind, or what is something mindless that I can do that's not that calms my mind down. And so it's not racing. I think figuring out things to quiet down your mind is the best way to de-stress. And then if it is through music, allowing yourself to not be perfect with certain tasks, and striving for perfection with other tasks, but maybe reading through some music that's not as difficult can be a big de-stressor, rather than, you know, working measure by measure, hands alone to hands together with like some Rachmaninoff concerto or something.
Do you have, when you were talking about the bath, is that an example of a ritual that you would say?
Oh, I don't know if okay. Ritual is, you know, that word's tossed around so much, but no, like if, but if you, yeah, like just whatever it is, or like doing a sauna or doing a breath work or just playing through some good repertoire or reading a book or whatever it might be, just having those tasks that can take your mind out of that race mode, which promotes anxiety. And I think with social media and, the ease with which we're entertained in society today, our minds have a really hard time shutting off. So if you can find activities that do that, that's very helpful.
Very same way that I manage my time. I start to do a lot of things. And to be clear, I don't have a whole bunch of half-finished projects. I'm not, some people are that way and I'm not. I know that if I'm starting something, I'm going to be finishing it. Hopefully not in one sitting if it's a huge thing, but managing stress, it's the really boring that there's not a, I don't know, a really sexy answer to this question. Like it's, am I getting enough sleep? Number one, have to get enough sleep. And that's not, I do require sleep, but all of us do. Number one, no one is going to improve if you're not getting enough sleep. Also, how are you feeding your body? Are you feeding your body healthy things? And, you know, unhealthy things too, it's fine. But making sure that, like, nutritionally you're getting in, drinking lots of water. And then lastly, like, kind of my mindset. Am I talking to myself like I would talk to my friend? Or like most human beings that I know and clients that I've worked with, am I talking to myself in a way that I would never talk to somebody else? Unless it was like a sibling. And I have a lot of siblings, as you guys, I have 5 siblings. And sometimes, like, with them growing up, I would be so angry at them that then I would just be, like, hateful and nasty, and then I'd feel so bad right away. But the whole time, I'm talking to myself that way all the time. Mm-hmm. So watching the way that I talk to myself and then talking to myself like I would a friend, like, encouraging, and really that. Also, exercise. I don't think any human can manage stress without exercise. It's just how our bodies are made. We need to be exercising regularly and having fun while we're doing it.
How much exercise is necessary?
Golly, was it the WHO that just came out with new guidelines in the last couple of weeks? So a lot. From a mental health perspective, what I tell clients and what I definitely live by is no less than 5 hours a week. So an hour a day. But if you're like a couch potato, which is fine, we all go through phases, don't start it. You're going to hurt yourself if you start there. So, and really add a, and then we're not talking like redlining it, and I'm not an exercise physiologist, but when I'm working with clients and we're trying to build up some resiliency and some stress tolerance, we're aiming for like start like 3 times a week for 30 minutes, right, with the goal of working up to 5 times a week for an hour each time. But at a level where you could talk like in full sentences, but you couldn't sing, right? And okay. So if you can't, if you can sing, you need to step it up a little bit. If you can't talk, or if you can only blurt out 1 or 2 words, that's probably a little bit too intense for a sustained effort. But yeah, I aim for no less than 5 hours a week.
Going outside helps, and I'm a big fan of meditation. I think, and this kind of goes hand in hand with meditation, but taking some time to either make a gratitude list or, you know, like thank the universe or pray to express gratitude, and to sort of get in touch with the inner self or the higher self, or, you know, being an artist is I think it's a spiritual thing. And so, you know, having a good relationship with your creativity and with, you know, the source of the good things that come into your life, I think that's important, and finding time to center on it and kind of just drown everything else out is a good way to manage stress.
I try to really always think of the bigger picture. I also try to, like, you know, if I'm in a stressful point in a project or a conversation, like, try to, you know, really listen and then come back to it later. So I'm not in like a heightened state, you know. I also have been meditating, which I think is really helpful, just to take some moments to deep, you know, have a moment of silence to kind of just like calm my own anxiety and those stressful situations. I garden a lot. I also hang out with my dog and all his dog friends, and friends who have dogs. My partner and I, we take up walks, we hike, and just kind of like step away from our work and make that a point of having, you know, those day dates where we get away. Even though in California everything's shut down right now, you know, it's like, okay, where can we go that we haven't gone and go for? And I think that's helpful, and it's been a saving grace for those stressful times.
All right. So sometimes I just let it build up until I explode. No, hopefully not. Usually I force myself to find an outlet. If I'm really not feeling great about something or other, I will force myself to calm down. I have like this mini kind of meditation thing that I do that's just more like a focus on the moment. and like on good positive feelings that I'm generally feeling in that moment. Unless you're not feeling very well, like if you're feeling sick, then that doesn't work. But otherwise, it's kind of like mindfulness. It's kind of like my own version of mindfulness I just invented. That works really well. Another thing that works really well for me is just playing some music that's gratifying or listening to some good music. If I do either of those things, like with focus and intent, you know, it's like focused on that activity, not trying to do it while I'm, you know, not trying to listen to music while I'm like doing an email or something. But if I just do that thing for a little bit, that really helps de-stress me.
Do you have any other outlets besides music that you go to?
For stress relief?
Yeah.
I mean, I have other things that I enjoy doing. I like, but specifically for stress relief.
Like some people just need to go out on the golf course or whatever, or.
Actually, so I really enjoy running, okay. Running and other kinds of exercise. Mountain biking is awesome. Mm-hmm. I also like weightlifting, and I've done all of those things. And, you know, like I go through rotations of what activity I'm focusing more on. Right now I'm focusing more on it's cold outside and I'm staying inside my house.
Stress management. So that's a big one. And it's another one where it's like how you're defining stress and how you're defining management. And recognizing that stress just happens. Like these are things that, you know, like there's some things that are unavoidable, and it's not a matter, you know, you see a lot of people talking about like reducing stress or trying to just, you know, get rid of stress or whatever. And it's like, that's just living in a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. So the idea of managing, learning how to, or having a system, I guess you could say, for how you can metabolize the effects of stress. So that you're finding ways to channel that and be in tune, pun intended, musician's toolbox, with you know, the emotional reactions, your emotions and how you react to the stress, and learning to take a pause, take a breath, and understand that maybe this isn't exactly you, the real you talking in the moment, or, you know, however you want to, or reacting in the moment, that this is a moment in time. This is how I feel about it. Let's acknowledge that, because if you don't acknowledge it, it's going to bite you in the ass later. So mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know if I can cuss.
So I really liked something you said, because at the beginning, something you mentioned made me realize that I think a lot of times when we think of the idea of stress management, even though it's management, we're still trying to eliminate it. Mm-hmm. And it's really not called stress elimination. It's called stress management. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that it is something that just occurs and we learn to live with it instead of try to eliminate it, I think, I know that's when I've said stress management, I'm like, I just don't want stress. And that's not what it is. So.
Well, and you think about the word management, it does have this connotation of like the manager who tells that person to go there and that person to do that thing and this person to make those copies and get me a coffee and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so if you start taking that image and implying it to stress in your life, it's like, well, you know, how far is that really going to get you?
Yeah.
You know, so acknowledging like stress acknowledgement, like mm-hmm. I'm stressed right now. And it's okay to be stressed. Like there's no shame in feeling the stress of a moment, like especially in a week like this where you got, you know, just craziness going on in our country, and just acknowledging that like it's okay to feel things mm-hmm. about what's going on and mm-hmm. and how it feels in your body.
I think I'm gonna call it stress acknowledgement from now on. I like that. That's better than management.
I like it too. It just came to me.
There you go. Brilliance.
What a great interview. Thank you so much for listening and watching, and we truly hope that you have found some tools to put in your toolbox.
Our podcast, as a reminder, can be found on various platforms as well as on YouTube.
Once again, feel free to send us a DM or voice message with anything that you'd like to see in the future.
We often post announcements and upcoming guests on our social media, so if that's interesting to you, you should go and give us a follow.
Yeah, we would love some follows. And lastly, while we do love doing this for free, podcasting is not free. So if you really like what we're doing and have gained some value from our show,
there are a few ways that you can support us.
You could share with your friends.
You could rate and review.
And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
You could also shop our merch, which you might have seen in our YouTube videos, or become a supporter through a donation at the Anchor Podcast link in the show notes below.
Thanks for watching.
See you later.